You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, I'm not Pastor Jesse. I don't have a lot of facial hair nor the suave Aussie accent, right? My name's Sean. I'm the campus pastor out at the West Campus. We love it out there. It's awesome. But when Pastor Jesse asked me to preach at Central, I was like, yep. You know why? Because I love taking opportunities. I love getting up on stage and getting a microphone. You know, I don't think you get it. I used to be a kids pastor, all right? I was the youth pastor, too. Yeah, amen. It was awesome. It was a ton of fun. But I haven't been a kids pastor in like 4 months. So I've got like all this pent-up kids pastor crazy built up inside my bones here. But before we get to that, Pastor Jesse will be back next week. Don't worry. I haven't replaced him. Not that anybody could. That dude's amazing, right? He's on a much-deserved vacation, but when he asked me to preach, he asked me to remind you that next week he'll be back, and he's going to start a sermon series called, there we go, Soul Oxygen. June 29th and 30th, it'll be a sermon series during part of our summer here, and it's going to be awesome. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be great, so he'll see you back next week. But, like I was saying, I'm a little bit crazy, all right? So if you're not prepared for that, prepare yourself now, because we're going to have some fun. Y'all ready to have some fun? I don't think you get it. You all ready to have some fun? All right, cool. Are you ready for what God's going to do in your life today? Are you ready for what I'm going to do today? You shouldn't have said yes to that. You have no idea what I'm going to do. Y'all just basically gave me verbal consent to do whatever I want. Do you realize that? In fact, where's my dodgeball? Oh, man. That was awesome. With the headband and everything. Thank you, Brad. If you don't know Brad, he's our CFO. He's amazing, but he just handed me a deadly weapon. Now, for those of you over the age of 30, don't be scared. This isn't the old school rubber ones that when it hits your face, it like broke your head, right? It doesn't make the thwop sound when it hits you. It's just, it's soft, it's light, it's airy. In fact, here, Steph. See, it's all right, now hold on. Okay, all right, that's enough of that. I need that back though. I'm gonna put that back there because I don't trust her. But you know what? When I was thinking about today's sermon, I was thinking about the fact that I feel like if Jesus was in student ministries, he would totally play some dodgeball. Like, he would chuck a ball at a kid's head so fast, I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm pretty sure, like one of these, not like us 30 and over people ones, like not those rubber ones, one of these ones, he totally would have played. Because Jesus takes opportunities, right? He didn't let an opportunity go past without saying, yep, I'm going to do that. Yep, I'm going to minister to that person. Yes, I'm going to heal that person. Yes, I'm going to die on the cross for you. Yes, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. Amen? He took every opportunity he could. And I don't think that the kids wanted to come to him because he was boring, right? Like, I don't picture Jesus as like the sit on a rock, long flowing hair with the robe, like just chilling, and kids are attracted to that. I don't think that was the case. I'm pretty sure like he chucked kids up in the air like really high, but he was God, so he could probably do it like, you know, 30, 40 feet and then catch them. I'm pretty sure that was Jesus, right? Like, he had fun. Like, he had a good time with the kids, and that's me. That's totally my perspective on life. If I have an opportunity to do something fun, I'm totally going to take it. So I've got the mic for like the next 24 minutes. Strap up. It's going to be fun, all right? We're going to have some fun. So anyway, again, my name's Sean. I'm a campus pastor out at the West Campus, and I wasn't born in Iowa, okay? In fact, I wasn't even raised in the Midwest. I grew up in California. Any other Californians in here? Anybody? I know we got one back there. Wow, just two of us. Awesome. Well, Aaron and I understand that going and living in California, it's a bit different than here in Iowa, right, Aaron? Like, there's mountains, there's beaches, and one of my favorite things to do was go to the beach. I love to surf. I love to play frisbee. I love to play soccer. I love to just suntan, even though it was more of a sunburn. I love to do anything I could to get to the beach. And one of my favorite things to do at the beach was go snorkeling. There's this beach in San Diego called La Jolla Cove. It's just this little strip of sand that you have to get to through some stairs because there's rocks on either side, right? And so we'd go down there. We'd put our blankets up close to the rocks, and then we'd go snorkeling. But after a while, we realized that if we went to the store and bought a cheap frozen bag of like peas or corn, the stuff that I would always like shove to the side at dinner, right? If we brought that out with us and kind of let it loose in the water, these fish would go crazy. Anything from like sharks and rays to these beautiful goldfish looking things that were called Garibaldi. Beautiful fish. It just, the orange really stood out, kind of like Mason's shirt right now, honestly. It just stood out against the gray and the water and the sand. It was beautiful just to see them swimming by, but they're usually pretty skittish. So when you got these these peas and corn and you'd let it loose in the water, they just swarmed to you. And it was really exciting because you could just swim right up to them and they wouldn't run away because it's free food. It's a lot like a modern-day teenage boy, right? Like if you got free food around, they're going to jump at it, right? And so these fish would just swarm, and it was amazing. It was so cool to watch them swim up and just grab them, sometimes right out of your hand. It's one of my favorite things ever. But an illustration a little bit closer to what you might understand. Who likes to go camping? Anybody ever been camping? Yeah, camping? Awesome. Who likes mosquitoes? Anybody like mosquitoes in here? I saw a hand right there. Awesome. Just because of that hand, I have captured 1 million mosquitoes, and we're going to release them in the auditorium as a visual illustration. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. That'd be messed up. I am not really going to do that. But that would be funny, right? Like for me, because I put on some bug spray before service. No, not for you. So these mosquitoes, right, they're horrible. In fact, a few weeks ago, Pastor Connor and Ian and myself went and sprayed the entire West property for mosquitoes. Every square inch of that place, we sprayed with a homemade concoction and some stuff we bought from online just because we knew that people don't like getting bit by mosquitoes. Like, they're horrible, right? And it helped. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. You're still mosquitoes. Like, you're going to have mosquitoes regardless. But it helped a lot because everybody understands that if there's a mosquito around you, it's going to take the opportunity to bite you, right? A mosquito's not just going to fly around you and not bite you, right, Scott? Like, it's going to bite you. That's what mosquitoes do. They don't pass up a free opportunity for a meal, right? In fact, I kind of relate to that a little bit. Kind of like I was saying a second ago, I like to have fun. I also really like to mess with people. Like, it's one of my favorite things in the whole world. Just to see somebody just scared or surprised that I did that. Like, you're a pastor. You shouldn't do that. It's one of my favorite things in the world. In fact, Steph, if you could come here, not up on stage, but just right over here. As a kid, this was me, okay? Like, my mom would be like, stop touching your sister. So I'd be like, not touching you. Not touching you. No, I'm not touching you. Like, that would have been me. Thank you, Steph. That totally would have been me, right? I took every opportunity to annoy, pester, bother as many people as I possibly could. And so you can imagine this translate to my adult life, too. Like, just because I got saved doesn't mean I'm not going to stop messing with people. Like, it's more fun now, honestly, because I know my boundaries, right? I know if I've gone too far, right? So we were here at church one day, and it was the middle of the week, and I was kind of hanging upstairs. I was about to leave to go downstairs to get some coffee because all the staff know how to use that beautiful coffee machine out in the lobby. And I was about to head out the door, and I saw Pastor Amy start to head upstairs. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to get her. And so I hide behind the office door, right, and I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm getting more and more excited. What I didn't realize was that she had turned around, and somebody else started walking up the stairs. And so as Shanna opens the door, and I go, hurrah! She's got a hot, piping hot cup of coffee in her hand, and it spills all over her. I feel so horrible. Like, I am, like, the worst person on the planet. Although, had I known it was her, I probably still would have scared her, but I thought it was Amy. So it just kind of took me off guard. But just so you know, like, that's who I am. If we get to be friends, I'm probably going to mess with you. Are we cool with that? I'm going to take that as a yes from everybody. Very cool. I still like taking opportunities like that. It's super fun. But I feel like as I got to be around 13 or 14, none of those things really changed. I mean, I'm still kind of that way. I would go to work out with my grandpa because it was at the beach. Like, I didn't want to go work out with my grandpa. That's boring. But it was at the beach, so I'd go work out with my grandpa, right? I would do my chores because I didn't want to get grounded. / I wanted to get paid. Right? I wanted my money, right? Or I'd go to church because I got to see my friends. I wasn't going to church because I wanted to worship. I wasn't going to church because I wanted to hear a good sermon or because I wanted to volunteer and give of my time and bless others. I just wanted to see my friends. I didn't care about church. I was a kid who wasn't saved. I grew up in the church, so by the time I was 13, it was old news. It was something I was just tired of. Honestly, it was something that I was so tired of that I decided I was just over it. I wanted to move in with my dad in San Diego. And how many of you know that living in a place and vacationing in a place is two very different things, right? San Diego's beautiful. I love San Diego to this day. In and out, come on, somebody. But it's very different living there than vacationing there. I didn't know a soul in San Diego. I knew my dad, I knew my grandparents, and my cousins, and that's about it. And so when school started and I realized I was going to go hang out with a bunch of people that I had never met in my life, being a fairly introverted person, I was terrified. And so I didn't meet anybody. I just did my classes. I did my, the PE and lunch, just sat by myself, just stared at the wall. And it was boring. It was the worst. And so after a few months, I was like, I'm over this. I'll go to church. I'll take the rules. Whatever you got, Mom, I'll do it. Just let me move back in. And she's like, all right, you can move back in, but you got to go to church camp. I was like, Church camp is basically church, but like in the woods, right? And we did it in the winter. And it was fun. They had some cool stuff with it. Like there was, sledding down this massive mountain, and we got to jump off these rocks that were attached to ropes and stuff. And it was fun. It was a good time. But I had to endure church and worship and all this stuff that I was so over. But I was like, you know what? I'm tired of not having friends. So I'm moving back home. And so we go to church camp. Second night of church camp, pastor gets up and starts talking about the goodness of God and how God didn't just come to save you from something. He came to save you to something. He didn't just come to save you from eternity separated from him or a life not with him. He came to save you to eternity with him and a life abundantly blessed. Amen? And he came just for me. He didn't just come for everybody, although he did. He came for Sean. He came for Scott. He came for Annika. He came for Steph. He came for everybody, just for me. And that got me excited. That got me so excited. When the pastor said it was time for an altar call and anybody wants to get saved, get saved, I was like, yep, that's me. Except it wasn't a normal altar call. It terrified me, but I chose to do it anyway. He said, instead of the hand up, everybody to the front thing, which we don't do here, by the way, so don't freak out. Instead of the hand up, everybody to the front thing, if you want to make a decision for Jesus, stay in your seat. Everybody else is going to stand up and leave the room. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that. That's terrifying. But I was like, you know what? It's time. It's time to say yes to Jesus. It's time to say yes to everything he has for my life. It's time to stop running from the thing that I've been running from my entire life. And so when he said, 1, 2, 3, everybody stand up and leave that doesn't want to make that decision, and I was still sitting there, I knew that every single one of my friends that knew I wasn't a Christian was going to walk right by me and leave the room. And I was sitting there as they all stood up and walked by, kind of freaking out. And then I looked over and saw my youth pastor. He's looking like this. He was so excited. He knew what I had been running from my entire life. He knew that I wasn't a Christian. He knew that I wasn't chasing after God. He knew that I needed Jesus desperately. And he was so excited to see what God was about to do in my life. And let me tell you, God set me free from a ton of stuff that day. He set me free from sin. He set me free from shame. He set me free from all sorts of things. And I was like, praise God, this is awesome. I hope I'm not just preaching myself here today, amen? Is that anybody else in the room? Is there anybody else in the room that's like, I'm so glad God saved my life? But you know what? It's kind of our human nature, so I don't feel that bad. I don't feel that bad that that's how I was, because I wasn't like a selfish or mean person. Like, I don't think any of us are. I just think we get scared sometimes. When God puts opportunities in front of us, sometimes we're just nervous about how somebody else might make us feel when we take an opportunity in front of us, amen? Like, we may be afraid when we feel like we need to help somebody, but we don't know how that other person is. They might not want our help, right? They might say, no, I'm good, thanks anyway. Or if we offer to help somebody financially, they'll feel offended. I don't need your money. Well, I feel like God told me to give it to you. No, I don't need your money. When in reality, I'm never going to turn down $50, right? Like, who's like that, right? That's just how we are, right? Or if we ask if we can pray for someone, they'll make us feel insignificant. Or if we feel like we got to share the gospel with somebody, they'll make us feel like we're not important, or they'll reject us. I think it's interesting that most of these things respond by how we feel, right? Like, if God gives us an opportunity, it doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is what God's going to do through me, yeah? That's what matters, right? But what those people wouldn't realize if they're rejecting us is that they're rejecting the greatest opportunity for love and compassion the world has ever seen. The world has never seen love like Jesus sent. The world's never seen compassion and hope that Jesus has to give. It's never seen it, so it's weird to them. It feels strange to them. This, surely you can't give me something for nothing. That's not how the world works. And Jesus is like, I'm not from the world. I'm God. I can give you all that because I have storehouses of grace. I have storehouses of love. I have storehouses of compassion. I can give you anything you need and more. Amen? And I feel like that's what Paul's talking about in the book of Ephesians, the entire book. In fact, it blows my mind that the second time Paul's in prison, not the first time, mind you, he's in prison for the second time while he's writing this book. He's writing things like Ephesians chapter 3, where he's got this prayer. And he says this. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every father in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit on your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Not just some of the fullness of God. He wants to give you a little bit of compassion. He wants to give you a little bit of hope. No, God wants to fill you to overflowing. He wants to fill you so much that you ooze hope. You ooze love. You ooze grace and forgiveness. Anytime somebody comes by you, they get excited by your presence because they know they're going to get something good, right? They're going to get a hug. They're going to get a I love you. They're going to get a what's wrong? Can I help you with whatever you need? Because my God is good and he can help you. Amen? My God is good. While he's still in chains, he's encouraging the church. It blows my mind. I have a hard time encouraging people when I'm having a bad day. Like, what if I'm in prison? How are you going to encourage other people? But I feel like he understands something vital. He understands the importance of a moment. He understands the importance of an opportunity. He knows that in one moment, the entire direction of your life can change because of one moment. He says in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Making the most of the easy opportunity? Making the most of the hard opportunity? What does it say? Is every opportunity. Not just the ones that I want to take. The ones that God puts in front of me, I say yes to because I understand the importance of following after God. I understand that one choice, one action, one relationship can change everything, not just for me, for the world that I live in, for the people around me, for the church. You can choose to speak life over a dead relationship and watch Christ make it grow. Amen? We have literally, in this place, seen divorced couples remarried in a church service. Come on, that's good. In church, they were divorced, then they got married again. You know what? Restoration's a thing, and we're going to make it happen. You can choose to be a blessing to someone by buying a coffee, making a phone call, or just giving a hug. What, I'm having a bad day? A hug does wonders, amen? It does wonders. You can choose to love someone who feels unlovable and show them that they have value. Everybody in this place, no matter how you're feeling right now, I want you to know you have value. Not only does Jesus love you, we here at Eternity Church, we love you. We know that God has put you here for a purpose and for a reason, and that reason doesn't just bless your life. It does bless your life, but it blesses everybody around you. Your testimony is powerful. I had no clue that Allie could sing before last night. And let me tell you, her voice blessed my life. I was like, dang, that girl can sing. And it blessed my life. It's not just a blessing for her. It's a blessing for me too, and it's a blessing for you. You can choose to plant hope into a heart that desperately needs it. I had no clue the direction my life would take when I said yes to a simple church camp. Believe me, it wasn't simple. The opportunities God put in front of people to make that camp happen are long and genuine. The fact that those people said yes so that I could have the opportunity to say yes blows my mind, and it makes me so excited that I can do that for other people. But I had no clue where that would take me. I had no idea that a month later I'd be getting baptized in possibly the coldest baptismal tank ever. It wasn't here. Don't worry. Our baptism tank's nice and warm. It's awesome. But I went out of that tank blue, but I was excited and on fire for God, amen? I was excited because I knew the opportunities in front of me were going to change the world, and I was excited by that. A few months later, I didn't know there was going to be an opportunity for me to move to Iowa. I thought I'd grow up in California my entire life. In fact, I thought Iowa was that place where potatoes are grown. I didn't know. I didn't care. I just never heard of it before, you know? I feel the dreams, you know? Is it heaven? No, it's Iowa. That's all I knew about Iowa. honestly. But that's right, Hawkeyes / Cyclones. But when my mom pulled me aside and said, the company I work for, that I've been working for a long time, has been bought out by a company in Pella, Iowa called Pella Windows and Doors. And they've offered me a job. They've offered me a position in Pella. Now, I've seen the growth in your life, and I'm trusting you to make this decision on your own. You can stay here with Grandma. She's offered you a room in her house. You can stay here and not leave your friends, keep going to your church, keep going to your high school, or you can move with me to Iowa. I had a brief moment of clarity when I realized that God wanted to do something different and something special in my life. So I said yes. And that was probably the third yes that I was like, you know what, this is something special, I need to do this. Getting saved, getting baptized, and moving to Iowa. And can I tell you, within 1 week, I met my future bride, right? I mean, yeah, amen. She was smoking hot then like she is now. But she ran from me then. Don't give her too much credit. She was running the other direction. She was like, nuh-uh, that guy's crazy. California boys, come on. I mean, she was probably attracted at first. I mean, look at me. But Once I told her that we were there just to pick up chicks, she was like, nope, I'm out. But eventually we would get married. And eventually we would start youth ministry right here in Iowa. And in the last 16 years that I've been in student ministries, we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students come to faith in Jesus Christ, get set free from sin and shame, get healed by in their bodies, in their relationships, in all sorts of ways, all because we said yes. Because God put an opportunity in front of us, and we're like, yes, this might be hard, this might be challenging, this might be scary, but I'm going to say yes, because I feel like the blessings of God are going to follow me. I find it interesting that like 4.5 years ago, most of you were already here then. Who was here 4.5 years ago? This church is crazy going fast. It blows my mind how many people I walk in every week, and I'm like, don't know them, don't know them, don't know them, don't know them. But 4.5 years ago, I didn't even come here. In fact, Holly and I lived in Oskaloosa. And Pastor Jesse gave me a call because we had some friends that came here. We knew the Shades and the Dolls and a couple other people. And we were excited because we were looking for a place of ministry, but there's two things we thought we knew. One was that we thought we wanted to move back to California, where a lot of my family still is. And two is we wanted a church exactly like Eternity Church. We didn't want one sort of like Eternity. We wanted exactly the culture that this place has. And so when Pastor Jesse called us 4.5 years ago and offered me the job as the children's pastor, well, hold on, actually, he actually offered me the job as the janitor, part-time janitor, because we couldn't afford a kids pastor at the time. We only had a couple hundred people coming. But when he offered me that job, and I felt like God was telling me, this is your opportunity, you need to take it. I know it's not in California, but this is your opportunity. I was like, yes. God, I don't know what this looks like. I've never been a kids pastor before. I'm terrified to go preach in front of a bunch of kids. Turns out I'm awesome at it because I'm a super big goofball. The blessings of God continued to keep following our lives because we kept saying yes to the opportunities. Then we needed a youth pastor too. And I was like, you know what? This yes thing is working. Yeah, I'll do that too. Why not, right? I mean, I could do two things at once. I can preach on Wednesday and preach on Saturday and Sunday. I could do that. Because we have an amazing team, and it was awesome. And I was like, you know what? I can trust these people. I can trust these people. You can preach some. You can preach some. We'll spread it around. I'll organize it all. It'll be great. Said yes. Blessings of God continued to flow after us. Then we had some amazing young ladies who stepped up and became our early childhood pastor, our children's pastor, and our youth pastor. And God's like, hey, we need somebody to kind of oversee all this. And Pastor Jesse was like, you know what? We need a student ministries director. I was like, yep, going to do that too. Why not, right? God's putting an opportunity in front of me to continue to go after him and to continue to bless his church. Why wouldn't I take it? And then this year, less than 6 months ago, we were approached about taking on a campus out west in Adel to minister to Dallas County and beyond. Amen? And let me tell you, first week, over 300 people in the room, and in the first less than 2 months, we've had over 40 people give their life to Jesus. Amen. Yeah, it's good. Give God a shout of praise. And when Pastor Jesse first approached me about that, that was honestly a little bit scary because I've only ever known student ministries / kids ministries. But when he gave me the opportunity and God was nudging me in my spirit, he's like, this is your opportunity. This is it. You got to take it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to trust you, God. We're going to do it. And I said, yes. And the blessings of God have continued to follow after my life. Anybody ever heard of Brett Favre? I know it's kind of a weird segue, I know. Anybody ever heard of Brett Favre and the Packers? Any Packers fans in here? All right. Well, I'm a Charger fan. I grew up in California, so that's my team. But Brett Favre was made fun of a lot a few years ago, right? In fact, this week, he actually put on his Twitter account that he's coming out of retirement, and people were like, come on, man, that's a joke. Really? Come on. But a few years ago, it really was a joke because he kept playing, and he was old, and well, by football standards, and he kept playing because he just loved the game. He was getting paid millions of dollars. Why wouldn't he, right? And eventually, the Packers are like, you know, we've got Aaron. We kind of need you to keep moving along here, Brett. And he's like, fine, I'll go play for the Jets. That's cool. They're going to pay me. I love the game. I'm going to keep playing. And so he goes and plays for the Jets. And they're like, Brett Favre, you're a joke. You should retire. And he's like, I love the game. I'm getting paid. Leave me alone. And eventually the Jets are like, you know what? We need to try something new. So he goes to the Vikings. And eventually he does retire, and he becomes a Packer again, retires a Packer, and everybody's happy. But I feel like that a little bit because he's like, hey, you're a joke. And he's like, hey, I'm getting paid millions of dollars. Why would I stop doing this? I'm having a blast. It's a game that I love. In fact, in a few years, when I decide to stop being a starter because I'm too old, I'll just become the backup. I can still be the backup and still get paid like $8 million a year. Why not, right? Let's say in like another 10 years, I'm too old for that. You guys need a practice squad guy, right? I'm going to do that too. I think he got it. Like he figured out that that if he just keeps saying yes, he's going to keep getting blessed. Right? Because it's something that he loves. And I felt that way. I felt that way. I was like, God, I keep saying yes to all this stuff, but these blessings just keep following me. Like, I don't understand. When are these things going to stop? And he's like, when you stop saying yes. I'm like, well, then yes to the next thing too. I'm going to keep chasing after these things because I know that it's not just a blessing for me. It's a blessing for my family. When my family, when my children get to see me preach the gospel, when my children get to see me help and pray for a student, they know that it's because I love them and I want them to absolutely succeed. My kids get to see what it's like to have a dad who loves Jesus. But it's a blessing for you as well. Because like Allie, when she uses her gift, she gets to bless others. We get to bless our church. It's not just a blessing for me and my family. It's a blessing for you. When you use your talents and your gifts, you're not just blessing yourself. You're blessing everybody you come in contact with. There are students right on the other side of that wall who are chasing after Jesus because there's people using their gifts, their talents, their abilities, and they said yes because they knew that kids need Jesus. It's a blessing for anybody you come in contact with. It really is. So the question is, what are you going to do with the opportunities that God puts in front of you? Every single day, there's opportunities. Every single day, whether they're small or huge, there's an opportunity in front of you today, whether you realize it or not, to do something for the kingdom of God. What are you going to do with it? What's your choice? There are people in this place who God has been nudging to take that job. Maybe you don't feel like you're qualified enough or smart enough or strong enough or pretty enough or financially well off enough to take that job. I'm telling you right now, if God's nudging you to take that job, he'll take care of the rest. If you just say yes to the opportunities of God comes with the blessings of God. Take a risk and start that business you've been dreaming about. There are people, there are stories in this church of people who've dreamt about businesses for years. They took that opportunity, said yes to it, and now their companies are thriving. Their company's doing so well because they said yes to what God had in front of them. Volunteer at your kid's school or sports team. Volunteer here at the Dream Team. Maybe God's been nudging you to say yes to being an usher, a greeter, a production room worker, a kids worker. Yeah, they're flashing up there. Yeah, they know it. In the cafe. What else? That distracted me now. Come on now. Student ministries, my absolute favorite. If God has been nudging you to work in student ministries, come on. There are students in this place who are so excited about the things of God. All they need, let me just say what they don't need, all right? They don't need somebody with a fancy Bible degree. They don't necessarily need somebody who's good at playing with Legos or is good at chucking dodgeballs. They just need a consistent adult in their life who will help point them to Jesus. That's it. If you can do that, you can work in student ministries, and they need you. There's a next generation that's coming up that isn't going to wait for us. They're already going. They're like, I don't know what y'all are doing, but I'm chasing after what's next and Jesus' opportunities for me. And they need adults to tell them, like, whoa, 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 whoa. You need money for that. Here, let me give you some, right? God doesn't want to just bless you with everything he knows will give you abundant life. He wants to do that for those around you. This place is already filled with some of the most compassionate, faith-filled, loving people I have ever had the privilege of meeting and calling my friends in my entire life. It blows me away every single week the amount that people give here. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about of their time, of their heart. Because sometimes it hurts to give. But God wants to bless you through that. God wants you to know that He loves you, and He wants others to be able to feel that experience too. So when you say yes to the opportunities He puts in front of you, think about for a second what it would look like if we did say yes. Dream with me for a second. If we said yes to absolutely everything God called us to do, what would that look like in this church? I imagine our online campus reaching thousands of people every week. I imagine it reaching so many people that we had to, I don't know, buy supercomputers or something. I don't even know if that's a thing. But I imagine us having to expand so much that we just had to just do it. We just had to go. And it kind of scared us a little bit, but we said yes because we know the blessings of God follow the opportunity of God in our lives. I imagine our West Campus needing to expand to a second service. And then on our 8 acres of land that we basically just got given, build a whole new facility so that we can incorporate all the opportunities that God's bringing. All the times we get to say yes, we need more space for. So what's that gonna look like? Is it gonna look like a brand new building? Is it gonna look like a whole new facility in a different location? I don't know, but if God says do it, I'm ready to say yes. I imagine our worship team, which is already so talented, producing its own worship music, throwing it out on iTunes and Spotify and making albums so that our music, our culture can reach everywhere, not just Des Moines, across the nation and the world. I imagine us planting churches in other major cities across the nation and world because our culture is something that I wanted. I know there's people in Des Moines that want it too, but that culture is contagious. The fact that I can walk in these doors and know somebody and maybe even not know somebody and they just give me a hug because they know that's who we are, that's contagious. People need that. People need to know that they're valued, that they're important, that they are special just the way they are. That God might love me just the way He finds me, but He also loves me enough not to leave me there. That culture is contagious. And it all comes down to what we do with the opportunities in front of us. What are you going to choose, church? Are you going to chase after it? Are you going to choose to say yes when God calls you to say yes? Are you going to choose to love, encourage, bless, honor, do everything you can to say yes to the opportunity God puts in front of you? Then this world will change. It's not going to look the same. It's going to be different. But it's going to be more like the kingdom of God, which is awesome. Amen. Maybe you're in this place and you're not sure what that next opportunity is. Maybe you feel like you're stuck a little bit, that you know what your last opportunity was, you know where you are now, but you're just unsure what that next thing is. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be a job. It doesn't have to be a marriage. It doesn't have to be a kid. It doesn't have to be starting a new career. Maybe it's just buying your friend lunch. Maybe it's just going out to your neighbors and saying, hey, can I pray with you about that thing you're dealing with? Maybe it's going to your family and saying, you know what? We haven't talked for a while. Can I tell you about my Jesus? Whatever it is, God wants to help you. God wants to give you everything you possibly could need to take that next step, to take that next opportunity. Maybe you're in this place and you feel, I don't know, insignificant in your current station of life. Maybe you feel like that next opportunity is never going to come. I can confidently tell you that God will give you an opportunity. You just gotta be willing to see it. You gotta be willing to open up your eyes and say, God, what is next? What is it that you want me to do next? And in the meantime, I'm gonna honor you in the right now. Wherever I currently am, I'm gonna give you everything I've got. Because you're not gonna stop, so neither will I. And if that's you in this place and you're feeling maybe a little insignificant, a little stuck, we have got an amazing group, an amazing team here ready to pray with you. When I step off the stage here in just a few minutes, the band's gonna play one more song and we would love to pray with you. We would love to wrap our arms around you and remind you that you are special, that you are valued, that you are significant. And we wanna pray for you, so don't leave feeling that way. Don't leave feeling the way you came here. But before we start praying for those people, there's another group of people I wanna pray for today. Maybe you're in this place and you've never had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Well, I can tell you that the greatest opportunity of your life is right in front of you. literally there will never be a bigger opportunity than what's about to happen. Jesus came and died to pay for my sins and yours, because the Bible says that we've all done things that separate us from God. He calls it sin. But God, that was the least thing he wanted. He wanted to have relationship with us. He wanted to know us on a deep, spiritual, personal level. And so he sent Jesus to live the perfect life, die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. It would be like if you were on trial, the judge would come back and say, you're guilty. But Jesus would then come in during the penalty phase and say, I will take that from him. Let him go. It's just like that. God loves us so much that he died for us. The one and only Son of God. The only one capable of saving us from our mistakes and giving us an abundant, hopeful future. I've got one more story, then we're going to wrap up. And it's my favorite story in the whole world. Story of these two guys on an airplane. One guy was a Christian, one guy wasn't. They happened to sit next to each other and got to talking. They talked about their jobs, their careers, what their families were like. And eventually the Christian spoke up and said that he believed in Jesus. A big part of his life was going to church. And the other guy had lots of questions. He didn't get it. He didn't get church. Like, why would I submit myself to all these rules and regulations? And the Christian guy's like, it's not about rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. It's about freedom in Christ. Amen? It's not about what you can and can't do. It's about following Jesus and saying yes to opportunities. Right? And so the other guy's like, well, let's give a hypothetical. What if I lived my entire life exactly how I wanted? Let's say I lived and I did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And then on my deathbed, I said, you know what? Jesus is good. I think I'm going to get saved. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins and come live in my heart? If I was genuine, if I was serious about that, would I be allowed into heaven? And the Christian just goes, well, yeah, of course. If you meant it, of course. God wants to spend eternity with you. And the other guy goes, well, why would God allow me to cheat him like that? After all, I lived my entire life however I wanted. I did everything I wanted. And then on my deathbed, I get a get out of jail free card? What kind of, it's not fair. And the Christian just goes, of course it's not fair. But you're not cheating God, you're cheating yourself. Because God doesn't want to just save you from something. God wants to save you to something. God doesn't want to just keep you from something. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you opportunities that won't just bless your life. He wants to give you opportunities that are going to bless everybody around you. You're not cheating God, you're cheating yourself. Say yes to Jesus as soon as possible, because the quicker you do, the quicker you get to say yes to everything he's got for you. The quicker you get to say, yes, God, I'll take that job. Yes, God, I'll do that relationship. Yes, God, I will follow you anywhere you take me. If that's you in this place and you're like, you know what? It's time to say yes to God. It's time to say yes to Jesus. You've been talking about him for a while and it sounds good. I can tell you it is. If that's you in this place, we're about to pray a prayer. And if you want to ask Jesus to save you and to give you a life that might be a little scary, but it's gonna blow your mind, then pray this prayer with us. It's gonna be super easy. I'll say it one line at a time. In fact, everybody in the room is gonna pray it so nobody feels left out or alone. So if y'all would bow your heads and close your eyes, just repeat this prayer after me if that's you. Say, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross, paid the price for my sins, rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise for that. That's so good. Praise God. If that's you here today, I want you to do two things. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you feel singled out or anything like that. But we want you to do two things. Number one, we want you to tell someone. We want you to start by telling us. You can start by texting the word saved to 25827. We want to bless you with a gift. Pastor Jed or myself will send you a gift in the mail. We want to bless you with that. Just say, hey, this is a big step that you've made. And if you need anything, let us know, because we want to help in any way we can. And second, you could send, throw it out on social media or something. Just be like, hey, got saved today. Hashtag number one opportunity, right? And lastly, I want you to tell me and Pastor Jed. It's important to solidify that decision in your heart, that you let somebody know as soon as possible. And again, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to single you out. In fact, if everybody would go ahead and stand with me right now. Everybody in a second is going to bow their head and close their eyes. The band, the production team, everybody in the room. So if that's you, we don't want you to feel like you're all alone here. But if that was you, we just ask you to raise your hand in just a second. I'm going to count to three. Because God wants to bless your life, and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come down to you. I'm not going to ask you to come to me. I'm just going to pray for you from right where I'm at. So if that was you in this place and you said yes to Jesus, would you pop your hand up on three? One, a bunch of people are about to raise their hands. It's going to be good. Two, you won't be alone, I promise. Three, raise them up. Raise them up. Let's see it. Who asked Jesus into their life today? That's good. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Anybody else? Only another minute. Only another minute. Anybody else? Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you so much for these souls who got saved today, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd anoint them to do good works in Jesus' name, that their life would be filled with yes answers to your opportunities, that blessings would follow them all the days of their life, that you would be glorified in everything that they do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on.